Take your Bible, if you would. Find two passages of Scripture tonight. Find Mark chapter 12. Find Luke chapter 21. Mark chapter 12. Luke chapter 21. Speaking of missionaries, it's great to have Michael Todd with us tonight. Mike is on deputation to go back to Argentina. He was born there. His parents are there. And he will go for himself now as a missionary. And you know Michael and know his face. You know his grandmother, whom we love dearly. And so make sure you greet Michael tonight. And do you have prayer cards with you by chance tonight, Mike, or no? Not in the car? Maybe afterwards if you rush out and get a couple. People may like to have one for a prayer time. It's fitting that where we find ourselves tonight, you will find application in the two passages. I will read both passages, and then we will continue our series, The Great Physician, as he meets with the widow at the treasury. Pick up, if you would, please, in Mark chapter 12, verse number 41. The Bible says, and Jesus sat over. That word over would be the word opposite. He sat opposite against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. There came a certain poor widow. She threw in two mites. When you study that, it's less than two pennies, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. What a statement. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even, say those last three words if you would please, all her living. Luke records this incident as well. Hold your hand in Mark. We're coming right back there. Look if you would at chapter 21. Look if you would please at verse number 1. The Bible says, and he, that would be Jesus, looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, it's interesting, of a truth, I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury or poverty hath cast in all the living that she had. Mark and Luke are both amazed at this moment in the life of the Lord Jesus. They're amazed at this moment in the treasury. And we find that this moment fits our series so beautiful and so wonderful as we've been taking time on Wednesday night to look at the Lord Jesus as the great physician. And as the great physician, we've been watching as he deals in the lives of individuals. And we have found that in some way, Jesus deals with all of humanity in one way, as far as in a saving way. But we found that he really never deals with two people in the same way. This is because God understands, the Lord Jesus understands, that as creating us, the uniqueness of each individual, which was mentioned tonight, is how we are to see people. And he knows individuals. He knows you. He knows what makes us tick. He knows how we think. He knows what we enjoy. He knows what we respond to. He knows what upsets us. He knows what we can handle. He knows everything there is to know about us. No one knows how to communicate to us like Jesus. And so, in one way, we find as we're watching the great physician deal with humanity, he deals with all of humanity as being spiritual in essence, sinners by experience, and savable by grace, which means there is a spiritual part that needs a physician, that we know as evidenced by the sinfulness of humanity. We commit sin because we have a sinful nature. It's the evidence that we are sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But praise God, he sees in all of humanity that all of humanity is savable by grace. Just so I can make sure we understand, we believe that all people on the earth can be saved, right? We understand that. However, in dealing with humanity in one way, he never deals with two people in the same way. And so as we are looking at his moving in the lives of individuals, in almost all of these individuals, we can find glimmers of ourselves. Sometimes we see more of ourselves in somebody than we do in others. And as he's dealing with them, we can see how the Lord Jesus deals in our lives. And so, as has been our custom, the Lord Jesus interacts with what we will call a patient, the physician and the patient. Sometimes he speaks to the patient. Sometimes he actually lays his hands on the patient and he diagnoses and he prescribes. And according to the ability of the great physician, he has, by his own admonition and his own words, the ability to make a man every whit whole. Tonight's lesson has some uniqueness to it, and I want to point out the uniqueness right at the beginning, just because it grabs my attention. As you read both passages from Mark and Luke, you will find that differently than other times, there's no contact between the Lord Jesus and the widow woman. A matter of the fact, there's no record of any word that the widow woman ever speaks in these accounts. Jesus himself did not speak to her. He only spoke about her. Matter of the fact, when he spoke about her, it was a private conversation that he calls his disciples to, and then he tells them about her. In reading the passages, it's, I believe, not an unfair statement to say that she really had no idea what Jesus was saying about her and really had no idea how he was using her for his glory. Let that be an encouragement to you. I would submit to you that God always knows what he is doing, even when you don't think he does. I would submit to you that if you are a child of God, then God is always working in and through you for your good and his glory. Most of the time, we have no idea how far God is using us, using the test he has put in our life, using the trial that he has put in our life, using the difficulty that he has put in our lives. And very much we can be like this widow woman as we go about serving the Lord, as we go about with an honest heart from the Lord. And Jesus is in some effects sitting over here and using us to teach others, using us as an example. By the way, God's people always ought to be reminded that we are to be an example. And yet, as we come to our passage of Scripture tonight with this uniqueness, there's some wonderful personal truths that ought to touch our life. And it's so fitting that we're dealing tonight with a poor widow woman, especially based on the testimonies that have come to us from Haiti. I need to give you the setting a little bit, and so I hope you'll be able to see it. Verse number 41 says that Jesus sat against the treasury in the temple. This court of the treasury was by the court of the women in the temple. It was a very large open space. Bible scholars tell us that 15,000 people or more could probably fit inside of this court. We are told that The court of the treasury was designed just for that. It was a place for the Jewish folks to make an offering or a presentation. If you were to go into the court of the treasury, you would find that their offering boxes looked like trumpets or shofars. There were 13 of them, and you would come in and you would place your offering. According to the Jewish law, the minimum offering you could give was 2 mites. This is what this little woman was prepared and what she gave. Understanding the setting and seeing Jesus sitting across, and if you could just picture 13 shofars, and you can just kind of picture people passing by, and there's all sorts of people that are passing by, as the passage would tell you. There's poor people passing by, but there are rich people that are passing by. Probably would there be more rich than poor? Probably would there be more upscale than downscale, more upper class than lower class, because as you read the passage, you find that really and truthfully, the presentation of the offering, although it was for the treasury, was also about the person. And many times, everybody wanted to know what so-and-so was giving or how much they were giving, and they would hear it plunk into those trumpets, and it would make a sound. And it could be a very personal, flattering, exalting moment. So picture 12 of these, or 13 of these. Picture Jesus in a corner watching. Are you there? Can you see that? That Malcolm sees it. What about the rest of you? Understand a little bit more of the context. Come, if you would, please, to Mark chapter 12. Look at verse 38. We're going back to Luke in just a second. Mark chapter 12, verse 38. And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplace. They love the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feast, which devour, say that word, widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, they shall receive greater damnation. Come to the book of Luke, if you would, please. I would beg you to find chapter 20. If you would, verse number 45. Keep your hand in Mark. We will flip back and forth. Verse 45, then in the audience, or the hearing of all the people, he said unto his disciples, beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes, and love greetings in the markets, and the highest seats in the synagogues, and the chief rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a, what class? Show. Make long prayers. The same shall receive greater damnation. Okay, so I'm building a mental picture for you. You should be seeing 13 trumpets. You should be seeing the Lord Jesus sitting against those trumpets. It's very interesting that the context prior to Jesus taking that seat is he is warning his disciples about the show. He's warning his disciples about the Pharisees. He's warning them about the outward and yet not honest on the inward. Matter of fact, when you boil it down, he's actually dealing with hypocrisy. He's attacking the hypocrite in those verses. And I have told you many times, I can't find anywhere in the scripture where a believer is ever called a hypocrite. A hypocrite is a description of an unsaved person. It's a description of an actor or a fake. You cannot be a fake Christian. You're either a Christian or you're not a Christian. Amen? Okay. So Jesus has just come from attacking hypocrisy. Now he's seated at the height of hypocrisy when it deals with money. Let me show you his physical condition. Pick up in Mark, because we're coming right back to Luke. But if you look over in Mark, verse number 41, the Bible says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury," and the word there is beheld. You see that word? That word beheld, if I was to dissect it for you, is the word for careful watching. Now, he's just warned them of hypocrisy. Now he's taken his seat at the treasury and he's carefully watching. Watch how Luke describes him over here in verse number 1 of Luke chapter 21. And we read this earlier and it says that, "And he looked," which way? Up. I believe that you will find that the Lord Jesus, as he takes his seat against the treasury or opposite of the treasury, sits down almost weary, frustrated, aggravated at the hypocrisy that is everywhere. And so dominant is it in his heart that he, in the audience of everybody, I mean, you talk about aggressiveness in where everybody can hear, he says, "Let me tell you something about these hypocrites, these people that make this show, that make this pretense, these people that are acting religious, but in their heart they're not. They're going to receive the greater damnation. By the way, if they're going to receive it, so are the people of our day." You don't want to sit in church your whole life a hypocrite and die and go to hell. I'll say amen to that. The weariness of the Lord with the hypocrisy of that moment, so heavy that really and truthfully his head is down. And Luke says, he lifts up his head and here comes a widow woman. I submit to you that that widow woman was a tremendous encouragement to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I submit to you, she's a tremendous encouragement and lesson for us tonight. Let me tell you some things about the widow woman. Maybe you will notice them. Very little is told in the scripture. We know that her offering was 2 mites. I told you that these 2 mites are the minimum that you could give according to the law. The Lord Jesus, or Mark and Luke, and even record the Lord as describing her offering as being all her living. You talk about abject poverty. She's down to her last 2 mites. Let me read you what one Bible scholar put it this way. Nothing else at the moment to depend on for her existence. That's it. I got 2 mites and I don't have anything else. In spite of her condition, in spite of her poverty, and in spite of all that was going on, she believed in God. By the way, there is not an excuse on the planet for somebody not to believe in God. In believing in God, she recognized her personal responsibility to worship. Fascinating. It's fascinating because all she has left are 2 mites. Those 2 mites are the minimum of what she could bring to God according to that law. She has nothing else to depend on. Once the two mites are over, the totality of her life is in jeopardy. And yet, she has a heart that believes in God, and yet she understands her personal responsibility to be part of this and in her worship. And so she has a decision to make. Do I keep them for myself, or do I worship the Lord? Picture the Lord Jesus sitting here watching all of these people file by. I'll give you a moment. And so here comes this woman, and she makes this offering. I want to stop right here and say, praise the Lord for this woman's heart and her mind. And really and truthfully, with the honest intent, had it not been for Jesus to point her out, she probably would have just passed by that day in quiet obedience, quiet trust. Nobody else in the world, even the disciples, knew what this woman was doing, but Jesus did. By the way, Jesus always knows when you obey him. He always knows when you make a sacrificial decision. He always knows when you're down to nothing. He knows when you come down to the point where you have nothing else to trust in your life but him. It's all my living or him. And whatever decision we make, he sees that. And that little woman took those two mites, knowing her belief in God, her personal responsibility to worship God, and she said, it may be all my living, but I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And she dropped them in those trumpets. Now, when they went into those trumpets, they didn't make the same sound as those rich people dumping in all their money. It's interesting. Why would that get the Lord Jesus' attention? Let me show you what Jesus saw that day. This is going to change your life, brother. Look, if you would, at Matthew chapter 12. Look at verse number 41. Remember, he's frustrated with the hypocrisy of the religious leaders. He's frustrated with those that are making a pretense and a show on the outward, and they do not know and have honest hearts on the inside. Mark says it this way, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld what? How? Do we believe every word in this Bible is the inspired word of God? So circle the word how. It's massive in the scripture. It's massive in the text. Humanly speaking, As the show is going on, and they're going by the trumpets, and they're dumping their money, of course everybody's wanting to know, what did they give? How much did they give? Everybody kind of wanted to know the what. Even the people giving were trusting that the peanut gallery cared what they were giving. Jesus wasn't interested in what. He was interested in how they were giving. By the way, he has not lost that interest today. He's not so much interested in what you give. He's interested in how you give it. And so as the Lord Jesus is watching and beholding how, you see, he understood that the hands were a reflection of the heart. He's looking more about the motive, and he sees this little widow woman, and she dumps in these two mites, and it gets his attention so much that he calls over the disciples. This is fascinating as he brings them to her, to himself, and he kind of takes a moment to appraise the situation, and here's what he says. He says, this widow woman hath put in more than everybody else combined. Just think about that a second. All of those that have gone through. Hey, fellas, come here. You see that little lady over there? Yes, master. She she's given more than everybody else here today. Now, if you were a disciple back then, you probably looked at the Lord Jesus a little funny, didn't you? Lord, that lady, the one that's kind of dressed a little, that lady that doesn't really smell the best, that lady, oh, Lord, did you hear when those things hit the thing? There couldn't have been two mites in there. Fellas, she gave more than everybody else combined. I don't know if you've ever had anything appraised at its true value, but I would submit to you that Jesus is the great appraiser. And if the Lord Jesus appraises and sets a value to something, that ought to matter to you and to me. And so when he talks about more, he's talking about more in the kingdom of God. He's talking more about in heaven, and he's putting an appraisal on her gift. And he's saying in the kingdom of God and in the mind of God and the heart of God, she did more than everybody else. How can that be? Because of how she gave. And he goes on to describe the difference. And this is imperative that you understand. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 44. For all they did cast in of their, what class? Abundance. But she of her want. That word abundance, you should write the word surplus. You could write the word superfluity. We're dealing here with superfluity versus sacrifice. They cast in of their surplus or their abundance. She put in all her living. Please listen as I take a few moments to read you a couple of lines and I'll close. Superfluity refers to something which is easily spared. In probability, you never miss it. Easily spared, and you never miss it. So all of those people had given out of their abundance, out of their surplus. They weren't going to miss it. It was just overage. Kind of a gesture of formalism. A conforming to a ritual. By the way, God hates ritualism. A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Jesus, with infinite wisdom and appalling scorn, called the disciples over and said, "All that's superfluity." Now remember, he's fed up with hypocrisy. He sits down and he's watching them parade, and he says they're nothing but a gesture of formalism. Her action was a response to her belief in God, and the carrying out of a deep feeling that such vision had produced. She only had two mites. That's all she had. By the traditional law, no one was allowed to cast into those chests less than two mites. She had that amount. She had, on the material level, enough to do the smallest thing that she was permitted to do for the glory of God. And by the way, if you believe God ought to be glorified, say amen. Human wisdom would say, if that's all she possessed, she'd better keep them. She would be a fool to give that to God. You know, I have found that my human wisdom goes against the Word of God all the time. What would you do? What would you do? Be honest. Think about this. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm gonna set myself down in this chair. When is the last time I sacrificed anything to God? I thought about sacrificing one of my kids. When is the last time I actually gave my time, my talent, my treasure that wasn't out of abundance or surplus, but that hurt me all my living? To the point where either God, you're going to get me through or I'm going down. Either you're going to make this happen or it's over. God, I don't have a lot, but here's the minimum of what I do have, and I'm going to trust you with whatever you want in my life. I have a feeling that the Lord Jesus is still watching today, and I think he sees a lot of superfluity in people's lives. Her vision of God must have been something. That's all I got. It's the minimum I can do in my responsibility to worship you. By the way, once I put this in, I don't have anything left to care for myself. But I don't really care as long as I have you. And by the way, he's worth more than everything we have. Her vision of God must have been something. What's your vision of God? How great is your God? How powerful do you think God is? How providing do you think God is? Her faith in God was strong. She knew what the word required. She knew what obedience required. And she was going to obey God no matter what. Her love toward God demanded that she give her two mites. I submit to you that little widow woman had no idea how God was using her life or how God is still using her life today. What a vision of God. What faith in God. What love in God. And just picture the Lord Jesus, just sick and weary of hypocrisy and superfluity and people saying one thing and being another, so heavy in his humanity that he can't even really lift up his head. And then all of a sudden he lifts up his eyes and there's a woman that believes God is big, has great faith in God and loves God and trusts him with all her life. What do you think happened to that widow woman? We're not told, are we? I don't think she died the next day. I think God, according to his promises and his word, sustained her all her life. A lot of people in the Bible I want to meet one day. I want to meet the widow woman at the treasury. Because she's revealed to me that I really do treat God a lot out of my abundance and not very much out of a sacrificial spirit. Let's make sure we have that heart. Amen? Let's pray.